Welcome to the revolution of the mind. This is Why You Mad Son Radio. We do it here every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. So, if you want to get in where you can fit in, the call-in number, 917-889-2924. Hit the number one. We'll get you set up and ready to go. Make sure you visit our site at whyyoumadson.com. There you'll find links to our Facebook fan page, the Madman Twitter feed. Make sure you follow us at whyyoumadson. Our show archive is also there. Madman store is open, so go ahead, cop your t-shirt, rock the Madman on your chest. Better know that you are down with the revolution of the mind. WIMS is syndicated on the Black Talk Radio Network. So for live broadcasts and the best in Black Talk, make sure you visit them on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. So this week's show, you asked for it and we gave it to you. As you know, if we are to progress as a people, we got to get rid of the thoughts and the fuckboys in our midst. So before the holiday break, before we went on break for Thanksgiving, we exposed the Black Conscious Fuckboys. Now, you downloaded this podcast and drove, and you also told us we needed to do the flip side. You can't focus on the dudes. You got to bring it to the women as well. So you asked, we answered. So here it is. Anatomy of the Black Conscious Thought. Now, for those of you who do not know what a thought is an acronym for that hole over there. Not an acronym we like to use that much on this show, but it seems apropos for the discussion tonight. So, it's definitely going to be a great show. We got great guests for you tonight. We're going to have some fun. As you know, we got to get our shenanigans out of the way first, so let's bring the madmen up front. The nuclei of the Madman family. Starting off with Ronan. He is Agent 317. He is Mr. Disrespectful. Always telling them why he mad, but in the most disrespectful, but the most eloquent of fashion. So Ronan.
Yeah.
317. Tell them why you mad, son.
I'm actually mad at Wendy Williams for her swimsuit picture. The thing is, this is an individual who is notorious for talking crazy about people. And when I saw this picture, I thought the Aaliyah movie was bad. But why do her legs not only not match her body, but her legs are like overcooked onion rings?
Oh, you know what?
That's why I'm mad.
So she's shaped like Mr. Potato Head.
You're not going to be talking about that sister like this. You cannot. That's her body. You know what I'm saying?
She shouldn't be looking like that.
No.
Shut up, hater. Ain't nobody
body right.
Yet.
Sure
she shouldn't right. be looking like that.
Like a misshaped bowling pin.
That is not a reason to be mad, Roman. Not at all.
Yes, it is.
Next up for the Madman family. She is one of our most ardent fans, listeners. She is a madman at heart. We always love when we can have her on. We can pull her, drag her, kicking and screaming to the round table. She is Kelly Kells, and she is constantly behind the scenes. She keeps me on my game and makes sure that I don't cuss people out too bad. Kelly Kells, tell them why you're mad.
I'm mad at Daryl.
Who?
For trying to hit me, who? You, for calling me out.
Uh-oh. That sounds like
first
a story.
I'm supposed to be over here relaxing.
Yeah, that sounds like the news to me.
Lover's quarrel.
Uh-oh. No, oh, God, no.
Barry fight.
Next up for the Madman family. I'm not even going into that because that sounds like a whole bunch of mess right there. Next up for the Madman family. He is the proprietor of Note Alleged on Facebook. If you are on Facebook, which you very much should well be, go ahead and type Note Alleged in the search bar. He drops knowledge every day along with the Why You Mad Son fan page. Of course, make sure you check that out. He is also the head researcher here at the Madman, for the Madman team, bringing you the jam of the week and the words of the week. And he also wrote a couple of articles that you can find on the Madman Chronicle. Glove, tell him why you mad at him.
First of all, I'm mad at Kells for just putting on glasses for no reason I have no clue before. But aside from that, anyway, aside from that, I am mad at director Ryan Coogler for the second time in my movie watching life, got me the feel. Whoever goes see the movie Creed, you know, they're going to make a grown man cry or damn near cry. You're going to be in your feelings. And I'm mad at myself and to him for trying to get me in my feelings while I'm trying to watch a good boxing movie. Not still happening.
Man. You bitched out in the theater, didn't you?
I damn near did. I'm not going to lie.
Damn near you did, son. You just told the whole world you were crying like a bitch in the movie theater.
Hey, you watch that movie, you will understand. You be like, you will fight it. You will try to fight it for the hardest.
I'm a girl. I can get away with crying in the movie theater, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I cried with Major Payne.
You know. You know what?
Come on, it reminded me of Basic, man. It reminded me of Basic.
Oh, man. That is none other than Juan, who is next up for the Madman family. He is the man of 1,000 AKAs, such as Buffy the White Girl Slayer, AKA El Negro Diablo, and a whole bunch of other ones. So, Mr. AKA, tell us why you're mad, son.
I'm mad at Pitchfork Music Company and the Soul Train Music Awards as a staff. A music company and a mother effing crew for bringing up R. Kelly up there to be performing like he's some, like this guy needs to be celebrated. First of all, I recently read an article in the Village Voice, and it was detailing with the original journalist that broke the story about R. Kelly messing with that underage girl. And come to find out, it was not only the girl that, you know, that he kind of highlighted in the case that they brought against him. There were dozens of other young girls that he had, you know, messed with. 14 and 15 year olds. At one point, he even ran up to his old high school and was picking up young girls from his high school. In the parking lot.
Why is this even a secret? He married Aaliyah.
Yeah.
When she was 14.
That is disgusting. And y'all sitting up there going to his concert performances, cheering, hollering for him. R. Kelly. Yeah, he calls us the Pot Piper of R&B. Wasn't the Pot Piper the one that led the kids out of the village? Yeah, he going
out
of my kids.
No, it was mice.
I thought it was kids. Straight. Yeah,
nah,
he started
mice.
With mice, and then he started with kids.
Somebody look up the story.
Okay. Now they do call R. Kelly the Pied Piper.
The mice.
He started with mice, and then he started with kids. But they didn't pay him. What happened was anyway. R. Kelly, yo, that dude is nasty. And y'all sitting up there running around supporting behind that pedophile like that, man. That's truly disgusting. For real.
Right. I was thinking next week maybe we might want to do a show of hitting Bill Cosby against R. Kelly. That might be interesting.
Oh,
I got to flesh it out a little. That might be an interesting debate for next week because we got to look at it. We got to look at it. Next up for the Madman family, none other than Craig Jeter Hayden. He spreads the hate around the round table each and every week with his old hating ass. Craig Jeter Hayden.
Yo.
Tell him why you mad, son.
I'm mad at New Jersey Transit. As you all know, I commute back and forth to work on a daily basis. And this evening, I found myself rushing to catch the train so I could get home at a decent time. I rush, I get on the train, I'm standing, I get on the train, it's the express one, I'm supposed to transfer to the local one. Why is the express train moving so slow that I missed the local train and had to wait for a half an hour for the next connection? If New Jersey Transit don't get they crap together and stop raising their fares, because they're not giving great service, they need to cut this nonsense out.
How much is it for a one-way fare?
It's $7 from where I am.
See, that's preposterous. They should at least be on time and move fast.
Exactly. And
for
that's
$7?
Just one way.
That's a pack of Newport. Oh.
that's your comparison?
Yes.
That's lunch.
The struggle is real. The struggle is real.
I can with you.
I can with me. I can. So
you better.
Shut up. Miss Nick Patel is out today. She is sick. So we got to send positive energy to our sister. But that also means that somebody else has to do my intro tonight. Who's going to do my intro?
Kelly
Hill.
I'm eating.
Damn.
Really? Really?
You know what? Everybody, you know.
Nobody going
to
do my intro.
I'll try to do it.
Kelly's going to do it.
Kelly.
No. You know
no, Juan
said
he's going to do it. I want the person I want to do it to do it because they're going to do it right.
Oh, you done effed up. You done effed up, Kelly.
No, all of y'all done messed up. Y'all going to hear about this after the show.
I did last time, though.
I'll give it a shot.
Come on, Juan. Bring me on you.
Oh, all right. Y'all know what time it is. Y'all know who she is. Okay, she's like the hardest working lady in the business right here, okay? Miss Chaka Thunder. She's got all kind of different projects going on right here. She's got Super in Harlem. She's got the Six Mad Men. She got the Hip Hop Festival coming up next year. Y'all got the Hip Hop Film Festival. Come on out here. Y'all come out to New York next year to come see that. Y'all know who she is. She is Sha Boogie. So, Sha Boogie, tell her why you're mad, son.
I'm going to tell you why I'm mad, son. I am mad at the black pastors that attended the Donald Trump situation that he pulled out of his ass. I guess he's trying to galvanize the black vote. First of all, not understanding that the majority of black people are Democrats anyway. But then he pulled together all these black pastors. Now, a lot of them said that, listen, we saw our name on a flyer. We ain't even know. We declined the invitation. But a couple of them, maybe about 35, 50 of them, went out there and went on and met with Donald Trump. And we know what that's about. That's political posturing. If there's a handout to be had, pastors are usually the first ones with the handout, the ones that ain't about shit, that is. Because there are good ones. Let's not be remiss in saying that all of them are bad. There are good ones. The second part of this are the pastors that then decided to steal the spotlight and call the pastors that went prostitutes. What kind of Christian shit is this?
Wow.
Is that what Jesus would do?
Yep. He sure would.
Blast them out like that? But they're not doing it for the religion. They're doing it to posture, to make themselves look good. And they all sound like a bunch of fools. To me, that is. Now, I don't know what's going to come of this whole Donald Trump situation with the black pastors, but all I know is that it puts a strain on black relationships, black political relationships. We as a people need to come together politically instead of trying to run to this white man and that white man for handouts. If the black church collectively pooled all the money they collected every Sunday or every month on that 10%, there would be a lot of power that we could amass politically. How they don't understand this behooves me. I don't get it. But that's what makes me mad. There's so much money in our community, especially in the black church, and they spend their time shucking and jiving for white politicians. The shit gotta stop. It has to.
Yeah.
We need to do a show about that too. We definitely do. It's time to bring them to pass. But listen, we got a great show tonight. Anatomy of the Black Conscious Thought. It's going down. It's going down. The Black Conscious Mafia is after me, y'all. They've been getting at me for the past month for these shows that we've been doing, these past two shows. And they mad. Hit Dogs are hollering because we are exposing what's really going on. But before we get into the show, y'all know we still got shenanigans to run amok with. And we have two special guests that I can't wait to introduce to you guys. They are fantastic people. They are leaders in the community, and they are doing great things for our people. So I can't wait to get... Who is moving around like that? Who is it?
Not me.
Not me.
Everybody freeze. Stop.
Hammer time.
Stop.
I was just about to say hammer time, I swear.
Stop. Hammer time.
You know
I don't
know
if I want to stop in the name of love, or collaborate and listen, or it's hammer time.
Let's be professional, shall we? So listen,
yes.
While y'all get y'all shit together, let's listen to the jam of the week, which speaks to our topic.
Yeah,
we got
get your shit together.
We got Lauryn Hill coming at you. We gonna hit you guys on the flip.
Yo, remember back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like. Yo. My men and my women, don't forget about the day. Just without the most decay, yo. About a thing,
Yes, Lauryn Hill, that thing do wop. One of the quintessential hip-hop jams of all time. One of the quintessential hip-hop albums of all time. Lauryn laid it down. Yes, she did. Y'all remember that album, right?
Whatever, man. Lauryn Hill.
One of the quintessential songs of all time.
Wait, hold on. What one? Buffy the White Girl Slayer. What is your problem with Lauryn Hill?
Lauryn Hill owe me $150.
How the hell Lauryn Hill owe you $150?
I went to one of her concerts. I took a date out to one of her concerts, thinking I'm going to, you know, this is going to be the live joint as a fan, see Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill show up an hour late. Then she get up on some guitar and strum over the song. Ain't nobody heard before. Then she just left out for no reason.
She had a very good reason. The show was over.
Right. That's a good reason. You don't just walk off the stage. How much you supposed to float off the stage?
The hell kind of show you wanted? You want her to come out and personally thank you for coming to the show, son?
Right.
He crazy.
Then I didn't even get with the girl. That's maybe more messed up, man. So, I met to Laura.
You know what? I can't. Shut up. Shut up. So listen, we got two very special guests tonight. Right now, typically we have one, but these two came as a package deal, and I said I will take it because they are dynamic and they are doing fantastic things. The first off is someone that I have known for a very long time. We are definitely friends, we are colleagues, and we are now partners in her business ventures, actress her venture, and I am honored to be a part of it. Her name is Jamila Outlaw. And she has begun this mentoring program that is absolutely phenomenal. It's a free mentoring program that matches youth ages 12 to 25. I think I got that right. Age 12 to 25 with industry professionals. So what she does is she takes the kids, she finds out what their career path will be, and she matches them with professionals in that particular field. We just had a launch of the program a couple of weeks ago. Phenomenal start. We met some of the youth. I got to sit with one of the youth and mentor him. He still contacts me. He came out to an event that we did, DJ Khan, told you guys about that a week ago. And it is an exhilarating experience. So Jim, I want to bring her to the mic. Jamila, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, darling. So listen, very quickly, tell us about Time Mentoring New York, and tell us why you decided to start the program.
Well, you can visit me at www.timementoringofny.org. Please go to the website where you can learn more. But the reason I started this mentoring program is because you have a lot of college students, students in school period that don't know what they want to do, or they do know what they want to do and they just don't know how to get started. They don't know how to start networking, and they don't understand the importance of having a mentor in the field that they want to go into, because if you build that network before you graduate, that is the difference between someone who graduates into a job or someone who spend 2 or 3 years or never even gets into the career that they went to school for. So what I'm trying to do is build a pipeline to connect the students with the future occupation or place that they will go and work. We also, besides the career mentoring, we have financial literacy for the youth, which I'm very excited about, because we all know as people of color or people period that finance is so very important. We also have positive mindset training and learning styles development. So I'm just really psyched about this program. We're starting January 11th. I encourage, again, everybody to go to the website, www.timementoringofny.org, and check us out, register with us, let us know that you're interested, and we will return your request to get more information for sure.
absolutely fantastic. And just to let you guys know, when we went to the caliber of the mentors that you have, it's phenomenal. You have lawyers, agriculturalists. That was dope. I mean, there was a young man there who is relative of Sylvia's. You guys know Sylvia's, famous Sylvia's restaurant in Harlem. He was there to talk about agriculture and food and to help mentor that. He gave a fantastic presentation. Gerald Kelly was there to talk about the entertainment business and being a comedian. He's also mentoring as well. Myself was there. I was there also as a mentor. I mean, some great community leaders. They have the attorney that represents Postal Community College was there, ready and willing to mentor. So this is a fantastic opportunity for the youth in the community. And once again, it is free. Jamila, give them the website one more time.
It's www.timementoringofny.org. And also, if you wanted to just give me a call, the number is 646-515-1948. 646-515-1948.
That's right. Now, our second guest, his name is Bijur Botsik. I'm just going to call him Mr. Botsik. But he is absolutely phenomenal. I had a chance to share with him before the show. He is a recognized financial leader, and he has been deemed an intrapreneur. Now, let me tell you what an intrapreneur is. An intrapreneur is a person within a corporation who takes direct responsibility for turning an idea into a profitable finished product through assertive risk-taking and innovation. He is the CEO, founder of Pinnacle Business Service, LLC. He has many locations. He's built a very strong organization from the ground up. He's a very young man, 33 years old, got his head on right. And he's here to, his business actually provides financial literacy and services to the community. Mr. Botsik, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
No problem. No problem. We are excited to have you. Tell us a little bit about your company. Well, first off, start out with why you started the company, and then tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, not a problem. First of all, like I said, thank you for allowing me to be on. Kind of just share a little bit about kind of the path and the journey it takes for me to get here. One of the main reasons why I really started this, I come from a strong banking background. I was a senior personal banker for Bank of America over wealth management, so I was always have been around the money. And one of the things that I saw really lacking in our communities is the information that other cultures were privy to, the information was not getting back to our communities. So we find ourselves so far behind when it comes to businesses, when it comes to starting, growing, and developing our companies, taking those ideas that we have and really making them profitable with really a lack of information. And one of the things I always say in any setting that I go in is that we've lost the art of dissemination. We're no longer disseminating information anymore. So because of that, we find ourselves really being in a rat race, and that's why you have the crabs in the barrel and things like that. So one of the things I looked at, I said, well, what is the industry that we are falling behind in that our counterparts are excelling in, and they're leaving generational things to their families and their kids and their children's children? So, and that was really financial literacy. Those that understand money understand purpose. When you understand how money moves, it will never run away from you. So that's one of the industries that I understood. So that was been my, it's literally to the point where if I didn't do anything else for the rest of my life, I'll be content with being in this sector, in this space right here. So that's what really kind of got me really the ball rolling. So I've worked in banking. I've worked in minority development. I've worked in advertising for a state newspaper company. One of the things that allowed me to open up Pinnacle Business Service is just for that. How can I get in our communities and really get information to show us how to get ahead of the curve, how to get away from debt problems and personal credit problems? And you know me, and we talked about this earlier. It's time out for the $20,000 and $30,000 CEOs if you're doing that every single year. You know what I mean?
Right.
There should be some progressive growth. Unlike our counterparts, we don't have 5, 10, 15-year plans. We have day-to-day plans. So I think that's why Pinnacle is really on the scene now, is getting communities and really awaken them to the fact that we created this commerce thing. Why are we not in it anymore? But that's another story.
So listen, just to let people know how serious this is and how serious you are, let them know where your offices are located and which community.
Okay, right now we have locations in Miami, Florida, West Palm Beach. We have one in Bronx, New York, Poconos, Pennsylvania, Los Angeles, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Columbia, South Carolina, where I reside.
Oh, you better go ahead and do your damn thing.
I'm in your area, man. What's up?
Hey, where you at?
I'm up in Walterboro.
Oh, man, my best friend is from Smoke.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Most definitely. Matter of fact, my fraternity brother, my Neo, he's from Walterboro.
What fraternity are you a part of, Mr. Bostic?
Oh, there's only one. That's Omega Psi Phi Fraternity.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Well, listen, I'm not
and
a big
so
Greek person. We have done shows on the Greek, but I like you, so we're going to let that go to the wayside for me. So we're going to have to talk about that behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. That is a fantastic service that you are offering. Financial literacy is, as you said, one of the most important areas that we need to focus on. When I was speaking earlier about why I was mad, I was talking about the Black church and the wealth of money that is there and how it's not allocated properly to turn itself into real power to affect change in our community. So you are one of the people that are on the front lines of this, and you see how money moves, and you see how we can better ourselves with just a little bit of knowledge. You also want to talk about being conscious. There's levels to consciousness. So
there you go.
And a lot of people think that being conscious means you know about Kemet, or you can name pyramids and what was in the pyramids and stuff. But no, that's not what consciousness is. And this is why we do these types of shows. So thank you so much, you and Jamila, for your service to the community. And you are honorary madmen, and you are welcome back here at any time.
Can I just chime in one thing that I did not mention that's so very important? Mr. Deidre Bostic and myself will be at the Dwyer Cultural Center on 258 St. Nicholas Avenue, Crossroads 123rd. And we will be presenting the mentoring program as well as financial literacy. I'm giving 19 people the opportunity to come and get a free financial service. I have a raffle. So if you contact me through the website or the phone number, that will be posted on YUMass on social media. If you contact me and you be one of the first 19 people to show up, you can receive a free financial service. So make sure.
Hold on, Jamila. Stop moving. Because this is important information people need to know. Whoever's fiddling around, stop it. Continue to know. Damn it.
Again, if you want to meet us and have the opportunity to have your questions answered and register, you can contact us at the Dwyer Cultural Center this Friday. We will be there at 6:30 p.m. sharp. The Dwyer Cultural Center is located at 258 St. Nicholas Avenue. Call 646-515-1948, 646-515-1948 to register and be one of those first people so that you might be able to get a free financial service.
That's right. And for those of you that are not in the tri-state area, you already have Jamila's information at her website. Mr. Bostic, can you please let us know and let the people know how they can find you as well?
Most definitely. My website is www.pinnacle, that's P-I-N-N-A-C-L-E, business service, not with the S, service.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Pinnacle Business Service of SC. Pinnacle Business Service of SC. And on Twitter, it's PBS of SC. So you can find me at each one of them. Again, that website, www.pinnaclebusinessservice.com.
So listen, it's not the end. They are here for the entire show. They are here for the entire ride. They are going to sit down at the table with us to debate. And they will also be participating in the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week. which we will begin right now. So you guys know the rules. This is the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award, where the Mad Men present their nominee. We take a vote. Well, actually, you know, we have our special guest here today. After we the nominees are presented, our special guests decide who needs to go sit their black ass down. And we pull from pop culture, we pull from politics, we can even pull from around the way. Yes, Pookie can be a nominee too. It is the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award. And first up, Ronan, who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
I gotta open up with another disclaimer. I love my family. I really do. But my nominee is for my cousin Gerald. And
come on with it. Hurry up.
In the event, I just came back from my grandfather's funeral, and when they arrived, we we all met up and everything. And he said he had to change clothes, so instead of going into the house and freshen up like anybody else, he decided to pop the trunk and pull out this 1993 Coogi sweater and just throw it on like it was cool. That's not the bad part.
The Coogi sweater wasn't enough?
No, it wasn't. When we were going through the whole thing with the eulogy in the church, there was a little commotion in the back, and one of the ushers flicked off one of his traveling companions on the floor, and he stepped on it. And
Wait. He stepped on what?
He had a roach that he brought from the doorway, and
Wait.
Whoa.
So he put on the Coogi sweater, went in the church, and there was a roach hidden in the sweater.
He had a roach in the sweater.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Fell out. Him in the middle of the aisle, and I couldn't help but cry. First, it was out of sadness, but it was just out of pure embarrassment. And
wow.
That's my nominee.
Wow.
I'm speechless. I got nothing.
Oh, my God. Moving on. Next up, Gloves. Who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Miss Erykah Badu.
Oh, shit.
And
oh, no.
And this is going to piggyback on what Juan said, why he's mad, but I'm not exactly upset about R. Kelly and his history, because I see it as history, old history. People moved on from that. But I am mad at Erykah Badu at the Soul Train Awards by saying, and I quote, "I know they said no red cups, y'all, but this man has done more for the blacks than anyone," end quote.
Oh.
What? I mean, this is R. Kelly, and then you have to bring up his history and his past, and then question what exactly has he truly done for black people in a positive way. Yeah, he got a couple of songs that may be uplifting, but that's it. He was more of an embarrassment and a stereotype of a sexual predator. So you don't. So I don't know if it was BT that told her to say that, or she just came up on her own. But she made herself look very bad, very, very bad.
I agree.
That was a good one. So far, we got 2 for 2. This is gonna be a hard decision to make. Kelly Kell, who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Okay, I guess we're going to stick with the Soul Train Awards. I didn't want to watch, but I turned on right when Cameo came up. My nominee is Larry Blackmon.
Oh,
not only came out with that red cup on his own song.
Oh,
the red jock strap.
Yeah, I'm like, is he still wearing that thing? Like,
it must be.
And then he looked busted, like he gained like 100 pounds.
Oh my God.
His hands was tight.
Oh.
It was just not a good look.
Oh.
Not a good look.
Not
oh,
at all.
Man. And he has oh, one of the most quintessential catalogs. Like cameo was the shit, man. Like you can't word up. That's just the bomb. You can't help but move. He forgot the words. Seriously, who forgets the words to word up?
He was mumbling.
Man, Gabby, black man done let the race down. One fell swoop. I think we need to hook Larry Blackman up with Mr. Bostic so he can get a fresh cup.
The most
time
definitely. I'm here.
Yeah, he definitely needs help.
Yes. All right, Juan, who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
My nominee is a woman by the name of Zoe Stavry. Y'all might not know who Zoe Stavry is, but you're about to find out who she is now. Okay. Miss Zoe Stavry is a feminist blogger who blogs under the name Another Angry Woman. Well, in one of her recent blogs, she decided to she was telling a little story about how she was suffering from a vaginal yeast infection, and it inspired her to create a sourdough yeast starter.
Oh.
Now sourdough yeast, as you know, is used to make bread and stuff, right? Now,
right.
I'm trying to live a gluten free diet or whatever, but you know other people they want to make some bread or something like that. So let me read off the list of the ingredients of this sourdough yeast starter. 1/2 small Greek coffee-sized cup of water, 1 small Greek coffee-sized cup of plain flour, and vaginal yeast as I could scrape off of a dildo.
What?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I thought there was going to be no dildo talk today.
Thank you.
Yes.
No. The agreement was...
This is different. This is different, though.
The agreement was boogie.
What you want to put in
the,
This was a sourdough.
Here
you
go, Juan. Talking about dildo.
Have a game.
Hello? She wanted to use vaginal yeast, scientifically known as Candida albicans. So a lot of people were, of course, outraged by this recipe. People thought she was disgusting and everything else for using vaginal yeast in a sourdough yeast starter. And the reason why she's getting the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award is because after all the internet outrage, she had the nerve to sit there and say that she believes that all the internet outrage is because she's receiving is a blatant form of miscreant. Talking about the very idea of it seems to horrify people more than enough. I suppose.
Wait a minute. Go back. It's a blatant form of what?
A blatant form of miscreant. That's what she wanted to blame
misogyny.
It on. Misogyny?
That's
what I... Misogyny? I'm sorry.
You know I'm going to hit you. You know I'm going to hit you.
Listen, you
why would
words.
You do that?
Why?
Wow. Just wow.
I'm sorry. Misogyny. Yes.
Continue. Misogyny.
So, yes, that's what she wanted to blame it on. And no, you need to go sit her behind down somewhere for that. That's disgusting. People are not mad at you because of this is a blatant form of misogyny. They mad at you because that's disgusting.
Misogyny.
Nobody's mad at you for that.
Nope.
You want to sit there and have a sourdough yeast starter with your vaginal yeast? That's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Stress down somewhere.
Ooh, I don't
know. All right, we need to pause for a second. We need to pause.
I am
Juan.
Not.
Juan.
Is our guest is still here.
Juan.
Our guest is still here. We got to keep going.
Juan, I need you to get this together, okay? First it was the gay porn. Now it's the mystery. Juan, right?
Yeah, you got a point.
Whatever,
man.
No, all right. Get this together, all right?
All right, Hater, it's your turn. Hater, who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. My nominee are the same black pastors
that you referred to while you were mad. But not just the black pastor. I want to specifically point out, and I couldn't find out his name, the one that was in the front that spoke right after Trump.
Right, I know exactly who you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
This dude right here, if he wasn't shucking and jiving, I just need to know how much money Donald Trump promised him for his services. Because my man, he said he had no, coming into this, he had no issues with Donald Trump because he already knew. He already knew what? Boy, if you don't go sit your black ass down.
And I'm on the other side. I couldn't
tell. He said that like he's somebody daddy.
I am somebody's daddy.
That's true. But. You said that. I thought somebody's gonna get a beaten. So listen, everybody went right. So it's my turn. My go sit your black ass down nominee is none other than
Juan.
Should be Juan's ass. But we ain't gonna go there. It's none other than Lark Voorhees. We all know what's been going on with Lark Voorhees. We used to love Lark. She was the one black, singletary black person on the old show, Saved by the Bell. And she has since descended into madness. If it's not the bad makeup, then it's also her bad choice in men. So she finally got with this one dude. He was definitely a fuckboy, not even a black conscious fuckboy, just a fuckboy. And they split up. They've only been married for a couple of months or close to a year, whatever it is. And she decided to air out all his dirty laundry on Instagram. Let me read to you what she said. She said, "To whom this may concern, I am single. Jimmy couldn't fork up a dime for our divorce. There's an active restraining order that he continues to violate. No sex tape even physically exists. Do you really think he could afford a camera? I gave him money multiple times and put minutes on his Obama phone. You better take a U-turn on that bus. Everyone in Pasadena knows you're a joke. Gang member, you lost your job at Taco Bell. Your penis is nothing to brag about. Is it normal for a penis to smell like corn chips?" Now, listen.
Wow.
Taco Bell.
Corn chips.
She liked them corn chips at one point.
Oh, yes.
Meanwhile, you were smacking on them Frito flavored corn chips, Dick.
For sure.
For mad long before you even married him, boo boo.
For sure.
I'm gonna need her to go sit her black ass down. Because you got with a fuck boy, and then when he existed, when he was who he was, which is a fuck boy, now you want to be mad. Talking about restraining orders. We, the public, need a restraining order against you. You are crazy. This is crazy. This is insane. How are you going to be mad talking about I put minutes on your Obama phone? How you going to shout the man out like that? This is just the problem with the black community and black relationships. Even fuck boys and thoughts, y'all need to get y'all shit together. When y'all break up... If y'all break up, can y'all just keep y'all shit together? We don't need to be hearing about how his penis smell like corn chips. Don't nobody care about that. They're laughing at you.
Ain't the Obama phone free?
It is. How the fuck you pay for minutes on a free phone, stupid? he just got you going left and right. Caught you all up in. I can't.
Her nose open. That's why she can smell them Fritos so good.
Frito leg, dick sucking. Ooh, I'm so sorry to my guest. I'm so sorry. But she
made me mad. You see what I'm saying?
Are they still there?
So professional.
I'm so unprofessional right now. But you, this is what happens when you get mad.
Miss Guinea.
So that's my nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award. Man. So listen, Mr. Bostic and Jamila, are you guys ready to name the winner? Now I'm going to give you guys a recap so you know who you're dealing with. Glove nominated Erykah Badu for saying R. Kelly has done more for black people than anyone else when the only thing he taught black people how to do was piss on little girls and get away with it.
Wow.
Carol's nominated Barry Blackman for wearing the same musty ass jock cup for 45 years, and then he forgot the words to Everybody's Mama's theme song. How do you forget the words to your own song? I don't know. Bonin nominated Cousin Gerald. Oh, Cousin Gerald.
The Traveling Roach.
Cousin Gerald. Cousin Gerald. For traveling with the Roach Motel in his coolie sweater, and then had the nerve to bring all the roaches to congregate in the church at the funeral.
I feel like I got to spray my damn house.
Chairs was flying. Ushers was fainting. Terrible. Hayter nominated the black pastor and the head shucking and jiving dude who was all smiling up in Donald Trump's face trying to get a come up. Juan nominated Zoe Savory, a.k.a. another angry woman, for thinking that people really wanted to eat bread made out of her vagina yeast. I can't even say that properly.
Biscuity.
Biscuity.
Menstrual muffin.
And then, what if she got an STD? Now you eating bread, you done got trichinosis all in your mouth. Terrible.
Homemade bacon.
Homemade vaginosis. I nominated Mark Voorhees for being crazy and calling and getting with a fuckboy. And then being upset because he acted like a fuckboy.
Corn chip.
And then told that the whole world his penis smelled like corn chip. Now, Jamila and Mr. Bostic, who do you crown the winner of the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award, please?
I don't.
Well, are we doing this together? How are we doing this?
Y'all two got to talk. Y'all two talk and then come with a consensus.
Okay, oh, Jesus. The black pastor smiling and trying to get next to Donald Trump is a problem for our people, because how can we get ahead when we have people like this in the camp that will just sell us out?
Right.
That's like a real, like real political. And then if you want to go just, you know, shameful on all levels, you know, Cousin Joe.
no better. Not everybody gonna go back to their home with roaches, and they're gonna be trying to figure out who that person that brought the roaches. The fact that he had a coochie spreader in his car, that's a big problem in itself, right? He didn't think about washing. He said, let me just.
So Jamila and Mr. Bostic, I guess you guys are saying that Cousin Gerald is the winner today.
Yeah, he did that.
Okay. Ronan, you win. You get to say the words this week. Take it away, Ronan.
Cousin Gerald, I know you might be listening, you too. I'm going to personally buy you roach spray. I'm going to hook you up. But tonight, you got to sit your black ass down.
Damn. And there you have it, folks. The Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week. Cousin Gerald, get your life together. Please, please get your life together.
Get the laundry together.
Please. Ooh, that was terrible. We had a lot of good nominees this week, though.
Colored patches on the coochie sweater. Come on.
Wow. Damn, Cousin Joe. That's going to go down in Madman history, that one.
Miscony is going down in history.
Yeah, I'm Miscony. We got to get together and pull clips for all the words Juan be messing up. We got to get that together. Because
you can't beat that one, though. That was classic.
That was crazy.
But the funny thing was, he just said it like it was the word and kept on like going. And we was like, what? Huh?
That's what I love about Juan.
We figured out what it was. That's what we are trying to Google it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's right. That's right. When you're confident, you keep going. That's right. You don't care.
Tell him, wrong as hell.
Boogie said, wait a minute, back up. What?
No, you know what I appreciate. You know what I appreciate about Juan, and I'm gonna be really real right now before we get serious for the show. What I appreciate about Juan is what a lot of people don't do. He'll say some shit that's crazy, and you'll be like, "What? This is that's wrong." Whatever, whatever. He'll be like, "Word, all right," and then he'll correct himself.
And then keep going.
Keep going and keep it moving.
He was like, misogyny? Oh, okay, misogyny. And keep on going.
And trust me, he will never get it wrong again. You know how many words he done fucked up that he now says correctly?
Yeah.
Because we done told him about his ass on the air. He never gets upset, and I love that about him.
Hey, we got mad love for him. He do has like an off-road thesaurus, so we got love for him.
Yes. That's how we do here.
Whatever, man. Off-road thesaurus.
That's how the Madman family do. You know what I'm saying? We crack jokes, but it's all in love, and it's all for betterment. And we take it and we keep it moving. We laugh at ourselves and keep it moving. But listen, speaking about laughing at ourselves and keeping it moving, I got something a little bit different for you guys today. It's time for the words of the week. And I got something a little bit different. Now that the shenanigans are over, it's time for us to get serious. Now that we got our laughs and stuff out the way, let's get serious for a little bit. I'm going in a different direction today when it comes to the words of the week. And I thought it was time to bring a little bit of different energy to the space of learning and growth, especially since we're talking about consciousness, awareness, enlightenment. They're all the same thing. And I came across this elder. His name is Saguru, and he's a Buddhist, black man, but of course he is Indian, very dark skin, beautiful man, a wealth of knowledge. And he spoke on a topic entitled, "You Can Only Live After You're Willing to Die." And it speaks to consciousness. It speaks to understanding your purpose in life. And I do want you guys to listen. If you don't really get what he's saying right now, let it marinate on your spirit for a minute and in your conscious and subconscious, and walk with it for the rest of the week. And hopefully it'll bring you some awareness, especially as we go through the things that we go through as a people and as people, as human people in life, especially with the things that we come up against.
There's a lot of people. Kind of people.
I'm talking, talking about races.
You said human people. I'm just trying to be clear.
I did? My bad.
You said human people. Yeah, I just want to know what other kind of people are.
You know what? First of all, you didn't check your phone while you're talking to me.
Look,
I am
dog people.
Dog people.
But listen, okay? Mystery people. But we're living in a time where people like to throw around this word, "I'm conscious," you know, but they don't understand what true consciousness is. Saguru says you only live after you're willing to die, and that's when you first come to your realization of consciousness. So let's listen to what we have to say, and then we'll come back on the flip.
You want to know what happens after death? See, if you want to know what happens after death, no, if you're not willing to die, you cannot live, you know. Those who don't want to die cannot live also, isn't it? You cannot. If you go on thinking, "I don't want to die," you cannot live. If death comes, I'm willing to die, only then you can live, isn't it? You cannot deny one and have the other. Now, death means now, she says, why death? Let's avoid it. Why talk about death? Because talking about it itself creates fear. They have told you, you should not even utter the word death in your house. No, generally they have told you, you should not even utter this word in your home, isn't it? Because if you never utter the word death, death is not going to visit your home. There is a stupid hope like that. Anyway, it is going to visit you, whether you like it or you don't like it. Today or tomorrow is the only question, isn't it? Anyway, it is going to visit you, so it's better to look at it. It's better to understand it. It's better to face it. It's very good if you're prepared for it, not just mentally, in every possible way. Now, what death means is, if you want to know what it is, first thing is you should know what is happening with you right now, isn't it? But right now the problem is you don't know what is happening with you right now. You may know what is happening with your body to some extent, you may know what's happening with your mind, but you do not know what is happening with you. When you say, this is my body, this is my mind, that means you're still beyond those two, isn't it? The very fact you say my mind and my body means there seems to be something beyond what you call as body and mind. That something is not yet in your experience. So now when you're here and asking the question, when you don't know what is happening with you, how would you be capable of knowing something that happens after you have shed the body? Now if I tell you, see, after death, like this, your whatever, different names, Atman, Paramatman, whatever you are, that will go up 3,000 feet and then it will move this way, then it will go to heaven, then it will go to hell. Even if it is true, as far as you are concerned, it's just a fairy tale, isn't it? Yes? Even if what I am saying is truth, but as far as you are concerned, it's just a fairy tale. Fairy tales only entertain you. They'll never liberate you. They cannot liberate you. So, right now, what is you is alive and kicking. Now when it's alive and kicking, you must look deep into yourself and experience what this is about. The moment you experience what this is about, not just life, death and the beyond, everything is crystal clear to you. Because you don't know this, all those things have become, you know, inaccessible. If you know just this one thing, everything is clear to you. If you know who you are, experientially, every aspect of life and beyond is crystal clear to you.
For more on Sadhguru, visit www.ishafoundation.org.
Now, I know y'all are wondering why, where is she going with this? I did it because there needs to be a reckoning. There really needs to be a revolution of the mind when we talk about being conscious, being enlightened, and being aware. So many people are losing their lives, and they don't know until the moment of their death how alive they really were. When we run out into the streets and we talk about Black Lives Matter, do we really understand what that means? Even those that say, hey, all lives matter, and all lives do matter, of course. But do we really know what that means if we're still running around killing each other? If we're still going through the motions of hating each other? There has to begin to be an awakening of ourselves, an awareness of ourselves. We like to say, you have to find something you're willing to die for and then live for it. And understanding what death is part of that process. And a lot of people won't be able to understand a lot of what he was saying until maybe they've lost someone really close to them, because a sense of enlightenment comes with that when you've lost your parents, lost a child, lost anything. You begin to understand the true value of death and your connection with the universe. Now, I don't mean to go too far, too deep with it, but I just wanted to spark a small light, plant a small seed, because we need to begin to elevate our conversation. Even here on this show, we do need to begin to have these types of conversations to elevate our humanity and shed the bigotry, help our fellow Caucasians shed the racism by beginning to have these discussions about what it means to truly be conscious, especially when you're dealing with the Black community and this whole conscious segment of us. Do any of you have any thoughts on what we just heard? Everybody quiet.
I'm about to say, I got like a small 2 cents. Because in the nature, it's basically, I mean, you got, if you like true to yourself, like true to yourself 100%, you will be true to everybody else's perspective, and you will respect everybody else's perspective instead of attacking them. And then you can share what you know to them, and they can share what you may not know. You know? But the problem is in this society, we always about me, and not the whole universe beyond. So, and that's what it is. It's like a deeper thinking than thinking about yourself and thinking that what you read and what you experienced is all about that. It is not all about that.
Exactly. One of the things that he said that was so prolific is that you think you know yourself and what's going on with you, but you really don't. You don't really know what's going on with you. You don't know what your organs are doing. You only know if something goes wrong. These are the type of things that they talk about when they talk about coming into consciousness or enlightenment. Mastering yourself, your mind, your body. And then using that energy, in effect, to interact with others. It sounds mystical and it sounds all of that, but there's a lot of truth to it. And we need to begin to start thinking on a higher level. We don't have much time on this earth. So what are we going to do with that time? How are we going to live? Are we going to live for justice? Are we going to live for the id, the self, the selfish part of ourselves? Any other comments?
This is one of the things, and this Boston, one of the things I really gathered from it that was kind of resonating with me is really perception. Mm-hmm. We have a choice every day on how we're going to perceive the things that are going on around us, whether or not it would affect what's going on inside of us. And for most of us, most individuals, where they find themselves at is that they allow all of the things that's going on around them to affect what's going on inside of them. But I believe that true enlightenment, consciousness, whether it's esoteric or metaphysical, starts from the inside and it flows out.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been taught, society teaches us, that it's everything outside that disrupts everything on the inside. It's not that way. So one of the things that I really gather from what you're saying is this perception. How are you looking at this day-to-day life that you are living? And how is it impacting those around you? When people come in contact with you, are they getting more peace, more joy, more strength, more courage, or they're getting the toxic energy that you're spewing out of yourself to individuals that come in contact with you in your spatial aura.
Exactly.
Yes, and I want to just piggyback on what he's saying, because I loved how he addressed death when he was saying that if you don't speak about it, you can't enter your home. And I'm just somebody who believes that I have a purpose, that I'm going to be here for a long time fulfilling my purpose. And when we speak in passing and we talk about things that we're going to do in the future and we say, God willing, and I always answer affirmatively, like, yes, you know, it's God's will. I will be here. And I usually get an answer back, like, you know, this very, you know, unsure answer, you know, well, yeah, you know, it could be just no expectancy of being here.
Right.
And
right.
I love how he addressed that if you don't speak of it, if you don't focus on it, if you don't make it a part of your reality and your thoughts, that you can not overcome that, but were warded away from you. You can't focus on life overthinking about death.
Exactly.
And I just really appreciated hearing him say that. It makes me more confident in my belief, because I usually hear people talk about it, you know, so weakly, so just unbelieving. That is, it's God's will for us to be here and to fulfill our purpose and to be here for a while.
Yes. And purpose will always manifest. It will always manifest. And it manifests with all of us, those of us that do this show, with you, Jamila, with your program, that has manifested. Your purpose manifested in that, Mr. Bostic. Your purpose has manifested in your education to others. So it's a very real thing. And we need more of us to begin to manifest our purpose, not only just wish on it and say, you know, maybe this will happen, or I hope this will happen, or, you know, this is what I want to do, but actually believe in it enough so that it becomes a purpose, so that it will manifest. So these are the discussions. It's amazing that we can have these type of discussions. Do you know what I'm saying? It's deep, and it definitely needs to be reflected on. And I hope that we can do more of this in upcoming shows as well. But one of the things that we our purpose tonight is to talk about the Black conscious thought. And it's not to degrade anyone or be negative, but it's just to call out and say, hey, listen, there's this type of prototype that is hindering our progress. What do we do about it? Now, for those of you that don't know what the Black conscious thought is, y'all know who she is. She was at the community meeting, titties out, hitting up the man on the side, talking about, oh, I just wanted to talk to him so we could build. She has everybody picking her phone, and she's the first one to call the cops. She used to be a stripper. There's all type of craziness going on. These women, when I think of this, I can't help but bring up the conscious stripper.
I knew you were going there.
Yeah, I had to. But we all know her. If we don't know her personally, we all know someone like her. And you look at her and you're like, you know, can you just, like, get your shit together? Like, what is lacking in your space? So let's go around the table and let's talk about the Black conscious thought and how we perceive her and what our definition is of this person, just like we did on the Fuckboy episode. So let's start with you, Glove. Tell us about the Black conscious
thought. All right. Well, this is the type of person that is really, like, all in her so-called consciousness. Like, got a whole bunch of skeletons in her closet that she don't want to reveal. Like, we know you from back in the day. Don't act like you, like this all of a sudden. You know? We're going to look down on you trying to make it, trying to do right. But saying, well, you ain't nothing. You ain't at this level. Why you doing this? Why you acting like this? But I'm like, yo, I know you from back in the day, and you heard about rumors about you, stories about you trying to do some dirt on the low. You know, it's one of those people that are very hypocritical, especially when they down in other systems.
Yeah.
And because the other systems, because of how they live. So what if that one system liked to wear weave and you keep your hair in a fro? That don't make that female lesser than you.
And let's talk about those folks. You hit on something that has always bothered me. Always bothered me. These chicks, it's the first one to holler about a sister with a weave or a perm. But they put their natural hair in, and they are going to buy the kinky weave. You feel me? I see them. Mm-hmm. I know. And a lot of the other sisters know, but we like, you know what, chick? Whatever you do is fine with you. This is why you sweating me. But she got a weave too. Whether it's extensions with the braids or whether it's sewn in locks, because yes, they sew in the locks, those extensions. Or they just got a track with kinky hair tracks, because you buy that as well.
Just because you style it in the fro, bitch, it's still a weave. So why are you constantly downing the system? And if you were truly conscious, you would know that black women through antiquity have adorned their hair with extensions, weaves, in all textures, colors, and forms. If you were truly conscious, if you were truly aware, if you were truly aware of conscious, it wouldn't even fucking matter. Sorry, I had to say that. Go ahead, love.
Stay professional. Stay professional.
I'm sorry. Bobby Janetta and
the pocket feel of their actions. That's all.
Miss
my
you.
Bad. Now, Jamila, I'm going to give you a chance to come in on this. Have you had any interactions with the Black Conscious Thought? Like, what about this type of person grinds your gears, makes you mad?
Oh, wow. I think one of the reasons that I want to do my program is to speak to the youth that's coming up about how to think, how to carry themselves. We have women of all nationalities, that's what you say. But this black conscious thought, it's really it's a title that's misgiven, because how can you be conscious when you're doing things that are counterproductive to your own success?
Right. Exactly.
You can, you know, make your money with your mind. I'm sitting here and I'm looking out the window and I saw a woman who obviously had her body done. And I just saw some brothers just pop up like flies trying to get at her. And for a woman who's not confident, you know, this is a turn on. This is a something that she seeks after. Like, you know, wow, I'm valuable. Like, these men trying to talk to me, but they're not coming for your mind. They're coming for your body. I'm rambling because of what I just saw, but we have women and men, but women, we just gotta work on ourselves from the neck up.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank.
Definitely.
It's bringing down the nation. Everything that we don't like about our men would stop tomorrow if we just stuck to a certain level of morals and said, this is what I need from you, period. If you want to be with me, if you want to build me, this is what I need, and hold firm to that. But we, you know, we sabotage ourselves by falling down and listening.
Right.
Somebody else. We gotta find out what we need, what we want, and stand for that, and that only. Mm-hmm. And we gotta be our sister's keeper. We're not in competition with each other. There's enough of anything out here for all of us. We don't have to fight each other for anything.
Got you. Well, listen, let me take it over to Mr. Bostic. Talking about the female and her mindset, especially in the Black conscious community, you and I spoke. We spoke about financial literacy, and the woman right now is wielding, the Black woman in particular is wielding a lot of financial power in the community right now. But it seems that power seems to be getting to her head just a bit. Especially, you have a sister that's all pro-Black, but when she go home, she's very anti-Black when it comes to keeping that family together. She's wielding that power of the fact that she's bringing home the bread,
right,
to bring down the family unit, demoralizing the man that's in the home. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I do see it quite frequently that majority, I would at least say 80-85% of my clients are women, predominantly black women, that literally, like you said, that energy, that feminine energy is now increasing so much now to where they're getting things together in their mind as far as direction. Okay, well, I know I need to get my finances back in place. But what they don't understand is that the totality of everything is the wholeness of the family. Right. What are you taking home? What information are you taking home to share not only with those kids? Because, I mean, with raising a generation now of just, I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, matter of fact, I had a client come in today, and as she getting ready to leave out, she was like, well, I got to make sure my kids, I got to get to Foot Locker so I can get this little voucher so my kids can get these new Jordans. But you got a full 38 credit score. So what I don't really understand is, okay, where's the priority? Yeah, I ain't woman, hear me roar. But there has to be information that is being passed to not only those kids, but also to those to the husband as well.
Right.
Because what ends up happening is you begin to hate those that you were sent to uplift. So now you come home, and now you're on top of the world, but you're looking at these kids that might not be doing well at school. Your husband might not have the intellectual capacity that you have, and you end up hating those you were sent to uplift. So before long, you find yourself being alone. But yet you're conscious, but part of consciousness is inner peace. And you can't be at peace if your whole lifestyle, if your whole family system is in shambles. And that's where you see it. So what ends up happening is now consciousness becomes the thing that numbs you from reality.
Right.
And I see it all the time. You keep running to learn more, to know more. But what happens is you're just running from past things that you're not ready to deal with. So that's why I often talk to, just on a personal level, I talk to a lot of people about not only the consciousness, but talking about meditation. Sometimes people can meditate so much, they meditate, and now meditative state becomes their own reality. So they're out in the world as if the world is a meditative state. So they seek solace in meditation. So that's what happens even when it comes with the black conscious thought. She is now allowing consciousness to become the thing that numbs her away from reality.
Yes. Without dealing with her demons. And then when she does come into the world and has to interact with others, the hypocrisy comes out. Because she's saying one thing, but she's doing another. She's saying, oh, I want a good man. But she's trying to sleep right. with her sister's man. You feel me?
Right.
She got the dick pic of the community leader in her phone.
Yeah.
And she's ready to make the Instagram post the minute he says something that she doesn't like. But we see it
screenshot.
All the time. Who else want to get in on this?
I got something to say about it.
Come on, man.
You said who I want to get in on a thought? Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Shut up.
Well,
nobody want to get in on a thought. Thoughts are dangerous, son.
Well, yeah, they are. And is it like, I know the brothers have seen it more than anything. What I usually see is the common thing with the conscious thought is she entices men with her body, but she aborts progress with her mind.
That's a serious statement right there.
Like when
he needs to say that again. He needs to say that again clearly and loudly.
Well, then, like,
then you need to applaud it.
With the conscious thought, they entice individuals with their body, but they abort progress, forward progress, with their collective mindset.
Drop a bomb on that.
You see them on Instagram, and you'll see them put on, afros and all this extra stuff, but then they have to show their physical selves. But when you interact with them intellectually, you'll see that she's barren. Like, she has nothing usually worthwhile to say. You look at their lifestyle, ran into a few, some live a dusty lifestyle, some are even musty. And,
some are like hardships.
Yeah, corn chips, stock,
corn chips.
Egyptian oil. So I mean, like,
the thing corn is, chips like, and you Egyptian know, oil. You going down?
I mean, but they always make the whole thing about they can bring men to the table, but the table they can't feed them anything. It's like when you mess with them, like you talk to them, it's like, what am I here for? You know, it's like, okay, you got all that body and everything like that, but how you live and how you think and how you do, that's unattractive. And they just go there for the status. I mean, some are just, you know, hotep hoes in a way.
Yeah. And a lot of them probably got into the conscious lifestyle because of them following behind the man of the week. So if they're dealing with a brother this week, that is a, let's say he's a Muslim. Now all of a sudden they wearing the garb. If they dealing with the next week, they break up with him and now they with somebody that a man that's heavily into the church. Now they on the choir. So you have these people who are very wishy washy in their intent to begin with.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're a virtual chameleon, you know. It's like they don't have their own type of identity. You know, we can understand when someone's out there trying to. Something I spoke on last week about this. You know, when you're trying to find the identity within yourself, and you don't know what you're looking for, but you just want to latch on to something because you think it's cool. You think it's a little trend. It's trendy. You know, how many times you see on Instagram women putting up, or Facebook or Twitter putting up Maya Angelou quotes just because it sounds deep.
Yeah.
And don't even know what it's talking about. And, you know, want to get likes and stuff on their pages, you know, just to get that. You know, yeah.
I can't tell you how much I hate the memes. You know, and it's coming from, like, even when we were doing this show, like, there's a contingent of these black conscious thoughts and their champions who will come for your neck. They came for our neck. Especially the women who don't consider themselves thought, but will encourage thottish behavior. They have all the memes. They have the RGB flag waving them high. They got head wraps and frankincense and myrrh. And the minute you say, well, listen, black conscious people, y'all need to address these type of people in your group because they fucking everything up for everybody. They'll cut you to the white meat.
It's so like last week I saw them dancing on the table. Now they hating on me, acting all educational.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to need y'all to stop thought shaming. This is thought shaming.
Thought shaming.
I know. Like, wasn't you just doing the same thing last week?
Listen, it's nothing wrong with dancing on the table. I personally love to dance on table.
Now, don't tell on yourself now. Don't tell on
the show.
I love it. I love dancing on
Whole
table.
Other show.
I accept I accept who I am, but I'm not going to shame somebody else for doing it. God damn it. If I like to eat pork, then that's me. That's my vice. That's what I like to do. It is not for you to tell me how I'm going to hell because of that.
How you going to dance on the table to eating bacon? Come on, stop it.
Listen, I do it all, and I own it because I know myself. I'm aware of who I am. I'm not aware of who you are, but I know who I am. And I know bacon I like shaming. Some goddamn bacon.
No bacon shaming on this show.
No bacon.
But bacon I'm not shaming. Mad at you if you don't eat it.
More for me.
And I'm not going to call you all types of names. What they do is when you tell them something, well, hey, listen, I like to do this, they will shame you. They will call you all types of names and damn near try to run you out of town because you spoke a truth, which is your own truth. This is the hypocrisy of the conscious movement. You can't be conscious and try to shame somebody at the same time. The two don't matter. What do you care if I like bacon?
Hey, can I add something to this?
Yes.
And this does to the fellas listening. Hey, y'all need to pay attention and take warning when you come up to these type of women. They're going to come up and speak all this knowledge and Hotep and Egypt and everything. You think you find a perfect woman, you know, she's fine and everything like that. They're the one that you need to keep an eye on. You already know about the hood rat. You know what I'm saying. But you keep an eye on those type of women because they are very deceptive. You gotta be mindful because they will pull a mind fuck on you in quickness. You don't know what done happened, and all your money is gone. And you're broke and in debt.
And, then you take it out on the good system that's actually trying to live and build and grow, because there is a big difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I say one of the key identifiers of these types of people, and we set up for the fuckboys too, and it's anonymous. If you really want to know if someone has, if they say, oh, I got knowledge of self, I'm a queen from Egypt, leave that motherfucker alone. That's the person you need to leave alone. Because you don't know nothing about no Egypt. You from West Africa like the rest of us, and we said this the last show.
Yep, to piggyback
you know nothing about no damn Egypt. You are not Egyptian. You did not descend. The slave trade thought it was centered in West Africa, boo-boo. And then they went up to the West Indies, South America, and a small portion of us was brought here to the Americas. If you truly knew history, if you were truly aware of what happened in your identity, trying to find yourself, that is the first kernel of knowledge you would have.
That's right.
You can't tell me that you're conscious and you're self-aware if you don't even understand where you came from. You just latch on to YouTube philosophy or what man told you because he got a pharaoh tattoo on his back.
In the middle of his back.
Lower back.
Literally.
Tramp stamp.
The dude got a tramp. Oh, man. What is the fuck? Okay.
It is time for the. We are 2 minutes behind 11:30, and I know everybody got a stuff to do in the morning. So now comes the time for practical solutions. So we're gonna go around to everybody because not everybody got a chance to speak. But we're gonna go around to everybody, and I want quick 30 seconds. Tell me your practical solution. How do we deal with the black conscious thought? What is your solution? Let's start out with our special guest, starting with Ms. Jamila. 30 seconds. How do we deal with the black conscious thought? What do we do?
I think for us, we have to save ourselves. We have to be an active participant in our own rescue. For those of us who are truly conscious and understand what we need to be able to be successful in the present and in the future, we need to reach back. Like I'm reaching back with my mentoring program and grabbing those who are coming behind us to align themselves with what is right and what is the most progress for our people. And I really believe you raise a woman, you raise a nation. I'm really looking to raise our females and our males, but definitely our females, because we are mothers, we are wives, we are daughters, and we give birth. All we gotta do is decide to give birth to positivity, and it will happen.
Right. Good. Excellent. Mr. Bostic, how do we deal with the black conscious thought? What is the practical solution?
You know, in 30 seconds, what I really have to say is really allow them to see your own life. I think we have enough people out here trying to show people or change people when you're really the change that they really need to see. It's all right for you to going out there and saying, okay, you're not doing this right, or okay, you're acting this way in one set and this way another one. But a lot of them see your changed life that they can be an example. And I think we have more people really worrying about their own business, then we'll be in a better place. And then as they watch your life, they'll be forever changed because they say, look, there's some inconsistencies in my life that I need to change. But by seeing your life, I think eventually they will change it. If not, keep rolling. I use the acronym KIM. K-I-M. Keep it moving.
Yeah. Drop a bomb on that. Yes. Love. How do we deal with the black conscious thought? What is the practical solution?
To tell women to stop believing in Lauryn Hill for starters.
Amen.
I'm serious.
Give me $150.
But on a serious note, everybody gotta humble themselves. Like, straight, like, look at yourself in the mirror, because you are not the shit like you think. I mean, that's, it goes for everyone. You're not. If you humble yourself and check yourself and say, hey, look, this is what I need to do to improve myself and identify who are the people you know are true and identify who the people are phony and work within that, you'll be, everybody will be, doing a little, a lot better. But nah, everybody's too selfish, especially of these so-called conscious people. Because they think that just because they learn some knowledge from a book, that they are better than the person that's still dwelling in ignorance. And they're really not. They're really not. Right. They just read a book, and now they learn something that they don't know. Why don't you share that to them? Why you gotta be irate? I mean, I can't even talk right now. I'm sounding like one right now. Why you gotta go there? Yeah. Why you got people under you? I'm serious though. Why you got
right, so your 30 seconds is up.
Red, damn, 30 seconds was up
10 minutes ago.
Long time ago. Okay, we need to wrap it up.
I'm a little guy like heated went right when I'm thinking about it.
Okay. He'll put it in the article. Come on, Gloves. You know what to do. Write that dissertation.
Right.
Craig G, the hater. Yo, practical solution. How do we deal with these black conscious thoughts in our midst?
We need to get the black conscious fuck boys and hook them up with the black conscious thoughts and ship them off to Wisconsin or something.
These are still our people. So we got to have a solution. We got to do something. We just can't ship them off somewhere. That's not practical.
No, ship them off until we need the pawns, until the war breaks out, because we're going to need somebody on the front line.
You are such a hater. I didn't expect that answer. Ronan, practical solution.
Okay, well, in order to call yourself conscious, you must graduate from the college itself. And until you do that, you're just basically a puppet of your own demon. So if you're not willing to face yourself, you're basically living a lie. So if you're really conscious, you'll be a conduit of empowerment in the community. And if you don't see that, you got a lot of work to do.
Good one. Juan, practical solution. You're the last one to go. How do we, the community, deal with the black conscious thought around us? How do we deal? What do we do, in your opinion?
Well, and this goes in general, not only just to the conscious thoughts, but just everybody in general. Own who you are so that nobody can use it against you. Okay? No one's actually, when I sit in trying to say, there's nothing wrong with you trying to be conscious, you trying to have a knowledge of yourself. There's nothing wrong with you if you're in that stage in your life and you being doing some thotty actions. Okay?
Thotty.
But, what is, yes, thotty.
Did he say thotty?
Thotty. Right. Thotty actions.
Miskinny. I actually like thotty.
There's nothing wrong with being in those type of positions. But you gotta have some sort of knowledge of yourself. You gotta own who you are. You know, like Eminem and 8 Mile. You gotta know your worth, know your self-worth, know who you are as a person. Don't try to move with the crowd just because other people are doing this or doing that sort of thing. You have to know, look inside of yourself and see who you really are. Own who you are. When you own who you are, you'll be, display more confidence in yourself. Then you can be that true, conscious woman.
That's true.
Whatever.
Well, Madman, this has been a great starter discussion for how to deal with these problems that are within our midst. What I can say towards the topic, from what I see in dealing with the community and dealing with a lot of backlash when we bring up topics like this, is that no one is perfect. None of us are perfect. We're all perfectly flawed. We learn how to face our demons, as we said. We learn, we try to have knowledge of self. True consciousness is a very hard and beautiful process. It does not happen overnight. It does not happen by reading a book. It does not happen because you know the deities, or you know you studied Africa. It doesn't come from studying a book. It comes from studying yourself.
There is nothing that can be taught to you in a book that you can't teach yourself through knowing yourself. And that's where it truly begins. I really want you guys to look up Sadhguru. It's spelled S-A-D-H-G-U-R-U. And understand that you only live when you're willing to die. Understand what true consciousness is. Again, conscious, being black conscious and flying the RGB flag is not the new world order, or knowing that your birth certificate is, you know, part of the UCC, or any of those other facts, or any other conspiracy theories. The building block of foundation is knowing who you are first, and understanding that you are flawed and perfectly flawed, and dealing with yourself, and stop trying to tear people down. Learn how to either take the wisdom that someone is giving you. If it doesn't work for you, just move on. That's it. There's no need to cut other people down because they don't like or believe what you believe.
And in all seriousness,
too. The first step to go to that is that's the first step to true consciousness. You're so judgmental and you're so mean-spirited. That is not what consciousness is about.
30 seconds. Wama.
Yes, I'm done.
I'm done. Wrap it up, B.
Yeah, I know, right? So next week, I think we're going to do that show on R. Kelly and Bill Cosby. I'm not sure yet, but we will definitely let you know. Make sure you check the fan page. I got to thank our special guest, Jamila Outlaw and Mr. Bostic. Mr. Bostic, please tell them one more time how they can contact you, because you are definitely someone who knows your stuff and you have a lot of knowledge to impart.
Definitely. www.pinnaclebusinessservice.com. That's PINNACLEBUSINESSSERVICE.com. On Twitter, TBSOFSC. And on Facebook, Pinnacle Business Service of SC. So those are ways you can reach out. Doing free consultations, anybody that calls in and they heard from the radio station, doing free consultations for you, 45-minute free consultations.
Fantastic. We're going to send some people your way, definitely. A lot of people that need it. And I'm first. See, I admit my flaws. I'm first. I'm first in line. I want my consultation. And if you're in the tri-state area, they will be, you know what, shut up. They will be they will be at the Dwyer Center in Harlem. We'll also have that information up for you. Madman, this has been a fantastic show. Fun as usual. Lots of laughs. Share the show. Thank you guys who are downloading this during the week. We love all of you guys. Next week, YUMadSun.com. We will be here. Make sure you check our fan page, YUMadSun Radio, on Facebook and Twitter, at YUMadSun. We love you all. We'll see you guys next week. Shout out to the Madmen. Thank you guys. And Nick, we hope you feel better. Get well soon. Kelly Kells dropped off the line, but we see you, Kells. Don't think you slipped that you got out of this session tonight. We're going to get you, girl. We're going to get you. Good night, Madmen. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Good night.